of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CC, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise.
Hello.
How are you?
I be good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So this morning, I'd like to start with the very fun and lovable VMAs that took place this week. It was so cute. It was so interesting. And according to Very Smart Brothers, it was also so Black. It was a lot of fun. The women's gymnastics team were invited. They had a blast. It was, you could almost just watch their faces rather than watching the videos. Unfortunately, Gabby Douglas couldn't be there. She had been in the hospital and was watching from the comfort of her own bed at home while they presented.
I wouldn't have missed it. I mean, they got gurneys and stuff. You know, you roll me up in the VMAs.
Really?
Get me an oxygen mask. It's gonna have bling on it. My oxygen mask is going to be dope. Everybody going to wear an oxygen mask next year. Watch.
She didn't need an oxygen mask. She was okay without oxygen. It was cute, though. What everybody talked about the most was Rihanna bringing, like, all of Barbados onto the stage.
That's lovely.
For her dance hall.
She wanted to have a whole bashment situation.
Like, the whole stage. Mm-hmm. There was nothing. Like, they even had, like, bleacher standing or something because it just never stopped. It went up to the ceiling.
That just doesn't seem insecure. Like that doesn't seem like a secure situation, fire code wise. Much less,
no, it surely wasn't. And there's probably nothing MTV can do about it. I'm sure MTV was like, "Look, we have some health and safety concerns." And Rihanna was like, "Yeah, don't worry." Everybody still came on the stage. That was cute. It was cute how Drake presented her with the Michael Jackson Vanguard Award of 2016. And told the world that he's been in love with her since he was 22. We know that, Drake. That's not news. What I didn't get about that little introduction was, one, why is Rihanna getting the MJ Vanguard Award?
I guess work. I don't know. Like, it's just...
I mean, I know she works hard,
What are some previous recipients of this award? I know Beyonce must have won it.
Yeah. Beyonce won it a couple years back. Mm-hmm. But... none of these, like, it is called the Michael Jackson Vanguard Award. Now, obviously, nobody can really claim his level of mastery in any way, shape, or form. But what are these people doing to get it? Like, he wasn't only the world's best performer and topping all charts. He was also the world's hardest working person and huge on charity. So I'm just like, because Vanguard doesn't only mean, like, career, right? It means, like, everything you're doing.
Like,
and is Rihanna 30 yet?
Yeah, Rihanna 27, isn't she?
She's, like, 27, 28, right? Because Drake said that he's older than her, and Drake is only, like, 28. So, right. I'm real confused. MTV don't have nobody else to give awards to right now?
Who they gonna give an award to? Come on. Who they gonna give it to? Taylor?
Ooh.
Who? Come on, I'm just being real. Like, you know,
there's got to be some old rapper from the 80s who.
Oh, wow.
Who deserves
You want to dig up Eazy-E? Like, what needs to happen right now?
Eazy-E, let him rest in peace. Please don't dig him up.
I'm just saying,
I don't understand who they're giving awards to. Anyway.
Sure. How you gonna be a Bay hater and a Riri hater? Like, that's a lot.
I'm a Riri hater. I'm a huge Riri fan. I have all of Riri's albums.
Oh.
I love Riri. I'm just saying, I love MJ more. And
ain't nobody saying she MJ. It's just an award. It's a title.
Yes, the Michael Jackson Vanguard Award. That's all I'm saying. What were some other highlights? The picture that people were like, oh, Black excellence. I don't know about Black excellence. Maybe Black.
What are you talking about? Which
Black
picture?
Money? I don't know. Well, with the power couple sitting there. So it was Kanye and Kim. One reason it can't be called Black excellence. Beyonce and Jay-Z. Oh,
with all this
Beats and Alicia. And some other couple that I don't really care about.
Diddy and...
And Cassie. I thought they had broken up for real.
I thought Cassie was all on Instagram with naked fingers talking about, that's why niggas be tripping. Like, what?
Like, she did this whole
Right.
You know, I am exiting. This is it. And I figured they must be back together because Diddy did this very grand Instagram. I love you. It's your birthday this week. So I was like, okay, obviously they back together.
The nugget of truth in there is that you follow Diddy on Instagram.
I do.
Wow.
I do. Want to be a baller? Like, I don't even know how that happened. I don't even know.
Want to go shopping in a mall?
I don't even know when I started following Sean Combs on Instagram. And I left him like twice, but I went back to him after the Cassie breakup. And I was like, let me see what he's talking about. And it seems that I was right to do so. And he has some pretty funny stuff because him and DJ Khaled cool. And I like following all social media of DJ Khaled because he keeps me weak.
P. Diddy is like that corny guy that like, don't really got a crew to sit with in a lunchroom.
I mean, you should know. Didn't you go to Howard with him?
He went to Howard in theory alone. Let's keep it real. Like, so he was one of those phantoms on a roll.
So you say.
Oh, yeah. Everybody say.
He was probably deep in your house. Like, hey, Denise, what's going on?
He wasn't deep in my class. That's what I'm saying. He probably was deep up at the house party.
Anyway, so who else was in the picture? I don't know. Was the picture important? I don't know. People were excited about it. I was just like, we already know these Black folks got money. So,
and my favorite caption was like, when you and your boys realize that all your wives passed the brown paper bag test.
Oops. Well, first of all, Kim ain't Black. I keep telling y'all, she don't get to be in the Black club. She's not Black.
She's Black. Ain't nobody said she Black. White girls by default pass the brown paper bag test. This is true.
Well, Rachel Dolezal, I don't know. Does she pass it? Okay, anyway. She might not because, you know, she'd be wearing boxer braids that are cornrows.
Oh, and she is headlining a
It's been posted. Okay. So, we're going to talk about her today.
Trying to block it out. It's all right.
What were your highlights for the VMAs? What did you like about it?
Ooh, well, you know what I liked about it. What you think I liked about it?
Beyonce.
I like the Beyonce. She did Lemonade and the poems. I loved it. My favorite part of it was when she decided that instead of kind of like working around the ass, that she would just spend the first part of her great performance was just like, just look at my ass. I'm saying, just look at my ass. I was like, that's awesome. That's great.
The only Beyonce moment that I appreciated was on the red carpet where Chance the Rapper was being interviewed and she came up from behind him and gave him a little hand on the shoulder and he turned around and realized it was, and she, you know, she immediately walked off and he realized it was her and he was like, oh my gosh, left the interview, went over, hugged Beyonce and started talking to her. That was really cute that you see him so excited because I love Chance the Rapper. I think he's great. What was a bit a shame, though, was people like clowning Alicia Keys for not wearing makeup to the VMAs. Okay, first of all, her little no makeup game has been around since like what? March, April?
Mm-hmm. May?
Why is it an issue if a woman goes makeupless to the VMAs?
In a muumuu. That, you know, it's because we control women's body. I know all of that. Like, you know, Alicia should be able to wear whatever she wants on her face. I couldn't see any visible makeup on any of the men there.
A little bit of makeup. A little bit of powder, you know.
Right. But they going for that naked face natural look.
Right.
So that's, no one's giving them any scrutiny and they shouldn't give Alicia Keys any scrutiny. I don't really hear a whole lot. Maybe I'm not, you know, following P. Diddy. I don't know what he said, but I didn't really hear a lot of
complaints. It was Swizz. It was her husband. He came to her defense in a way that Swizz, you know, Swizz is kind of boring on social media. I don't really follow him often. But I did go see how he made a very clear statement against all of the haters. He was really upset about it. He felt like he needed to speak on it, which I appreciate, I guess, because whatever. I guess that's what you do as a partner. But my question is, like, why do people care? Like, you know, the people kind of make fun of her because her performance right now is not what they expect from Alicia Keys. So in their minds, it's experimental. That's to be expected, right? That's just a part of the game. But I don't care if she has on makeup. What is the point? It's not professional, people say. Was it professional when she was walking around in tight jeans and hood cornrows? Was that professional?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because white people weren't feeling that look. Black people were feeling it, but white people weren't feeling it. And they surely called it unprofessional. Now she's not wearing makeup. And men and women alike of all races are on her about it.
Well, we know that this is kind of part of the tax that you pay for being a woman on this world, is that your choices about what to do with your body get policed so intensely.
The thing is, though, Alicia can do it. Like, do we want to see Britney Spears make her comeback after Beyonce's performance and then do that without makeup? I'm just wondering. Like,
no, we don't. I don't need to see a Kardashian sans makeup. Ooh. I don't need to. No.
I might not even want to see Black China without makeup, though, too.
I feel like we have.
Yeah, and it wasn't nice. Amber pulls it off.
But here's the thing is that that's part of the problem, right? Is that we're so acclimated to seeing made up faces that when we do see unmade up faces, we're like,
But that's what's fun. Yeah, I'm going to put myself on blast for a second. That's what's fun about watching a particular reality show that I watch.
Oh, goodness.
Because you see them without makeup quite often. Only clips.
What you talking
about? And they'll even post it on Instagram. They'll post themselves without their big eyebrows. And I'll be like, oh, they have eyebrows like me. I didn't know.
Are you talking about Real Housewives?
Only one of that franchise. I only watch the Black one.
Okay.
So when they, you know, they always have like a special trip that they take somewhere. Mm-hmm. And when you travel for long periods of time in the air, you're not supposed to keep that level of makeup. You can't have your face beat while you're on the plane because it's really bad for your skin, blah, blah, blah. And so they will take off most of their makeup and you'll be like, oh, y'all look normal like everybody else. Y'all ain't got no eyebrows. Got acne. I ain't even know. So I think it's great that Alicia Keys is doing it. I think it's also great that she's not even really trying to talk about it anymore. You know, in the beginning, there was this big thing and a lot of women came out in support of it. Neilan, Gabrielle Union. Gabrielle Union is always basically like makeupless on Instagram.
Yeah, but you don't notice that because that melanin is natural makeup. Natural makeup.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the VMAs this year. I enjoyed that Kanye, actually my anxiety about what Kanye was going to say was much greater and undeserving of what he actually wound up saying, you know?
Yeah, I really feel like those rambles are now very securely a part of his brand.
Well.
That's kind of, you know, his performance art to the world.
Oh, but you know, I was about to leave this segment without mentioning. Fade. If you have not seen the video for Fade, people, you have to go see it. I don't even know what Kanye is saying on the song.
I think that's how it goes.
I just know that Teyana Taylor is fine. She's so fine. I just need, yes. Go watch the video. Go watch the video because you will not be disappointed if you appreciate the fineness and the curviness and the athleticism.
Athleticism.
yes, you know, it takes that video took a lot of takes and she was working it.
She did a lot of things in the video. I mean, it was just her dancing in a gym for some reason. Didn't seem like the safest situation, but pulled it off. Didn't hurt herself or the equipment.
She might have hurt me a little bit though. In our second segment, we need to discuss the hypocrisy, the idiocy, the ignorance of white people.
Again? Girl, I told you we don't have time like that. Like I told you.
Like every week they just keep topping themselves. I'm so confused what's happening right now. And it's not all white people this time, but I'll get to that. So for those of you who might not know, I've known him for a while. The NFL has a team called the San Francisco 49ers, and they have a quarterback named Colin Kaepernick. Colin was not even like a first draft pick. I think he was a second round draft pick. And he had an opportunity to prove himself and he used it, and now, you know, he does not ride the bench. He is their number one quarterback. He even beat the Atlanta Falcons 1 year to go on and play in the Super Bowl. Anyway, Colin is technically biracial. He was born to a white mother. His black father was not on the scene. He was adopted by a loving household and probably didn't have access to certain cultural aspects of his blackness until much later. So now he's really coming into all the things that it means to be black. And I would like to say the entire preseason, he has sat down during the national anthem. It did not become an issue until just last week, where he sat down and it was noticed because he was actually on the bench while it was being played. Oh, and of course, people are looking for a reason to be upset about it. First of all, the NFL has come out clearly to say that there is no mandate that players have to stand while the national anthem plays. Secondly, Colin was interviewed and asked a lot of questions about his choice in sitting, and he said he's going to continue to sit until America lives up to what it stands for. He spoke specifically on things of police brutality. And as often happens, someone said, you know, one of the reporters asked, well, what about veterans? Don't you think this is disrespectful for people serving in the military? I do not understand how the flag and the Star Spangled Banner has become synonymous with the respect and values of people who serve in the military. Because let's be really clear, at every stupid game in the States before a baseball game, no matter if it is Major League Baseball or your little kids playing kiddie softball on the field, no matter if it's a high school football game or an NFL game, no matter if it's an NBA basketball game or some people in the hood playing on the courts, this song will get played. I get tired of just hearing it. I don't stand for the national anthem. I haven't stood for like since I was in elementary school. Who cares? Why is this an issue? Is it an issue because he answered the question of why he's doing it? Or is it an issue because people actually care that he stands for the national anthem?
It's an issue because Black people have a different standard of patriotism. I think that white America knows on a very deep level that Black people are not really citizens of America. I mean, that's been explored at length by great thinkers from Ida B. Wells, Frederick Douglass, all the way up to James Baldwin, to current BLM thinkers now. And so we're not full citizens, but at the same time, we are fully expected to be magical Negroes and perform patriotism to an extent well above what white people are have to do. So, you know, he gave a very articulate critique of the ways in which America falls short of its promise, especially for marginalized communities. And it was all based in evidence. Yet he's being taken, you know, out to the barn for it because he is Black. Meanwhile, we currently have a presidential candidate that's always saying, I got to make America great again. This country sucks. Let me tell you why this country's in the toilet. I mean, uses these words. Mm-hmm. And no one has ever questioned his patriotism.
No, they call it patriotic that he's calling it out.
They call it patriotic that he has a critique, right? We have shock jocks, conservative radio hosts whose entire careers are predicated on their intense critique of America and the direction that this country is going. But I think that there's this level of Fox patriotism that has to do with symbolism that has become a stand-in for actually doing anything to better the country. I'm really proud of him. I'm glad that he sat down.
I'm glad that he stayed seated too. I just wish that, okay, so let's mention a few things. First of all, apparently nobody went to the school that I went to because everybody is surprised to find out the history of this song. For those of our listeners who don't know much about the history, the Star Spangled Banner was written by someone named Francis Scott Key. He wrote it as a poem. I will talk about that poem in a moment. It did not become the lyrics, if you will, of the national anthem until 117 years after he wrote this poem. So Francis Scott Key was a white man who was a hater by any standard. He worked as the district attorney in DC and did the most in punishing Black people in any way that he could. Now, remind you, DC was supposed to have special status when it came to slavery. He didn't care. He wanted all Black people to remain as slaves. He believed in slavery. So when he found himself a prisoner during the War of 1812 and found that there were Blacks who were fighting for the British in order, or the British Empire, in order to gain freedom, he was up in arms. And the third verse of the poem that he wrote highlights that clearly. It reads, quote, "No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of a grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." End quote. Now, that was the choice of the national anthem. Why would any Black person stand for that?
Yeah, Black people were not thought of when they chose that national anthem.
Or maybe they were.
I know there were no Black people in the room choosing that as the national anthem. I am so lucky, and I didn't realize how lucky I was until I came out of these communities. But I grew up in a Black neighborhood in New York. And every single morning in junior high school, we had to sing the National Black Anthem, right? So we had to sing Lift Every Voice and Sing.
You know what? You know other than the first line?
Should I do it?
No, I'm just asking. Cause you're,
hey, it's the voice.
Everybody be like, Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Here we go. Every voice and sing till earth and heaven rings.
Okay.
Rings so, with the heart. I got verses.
I'm just making sure you have Black folks beat on there.
That was my Rihanna.
Okay.
And that was uplifting. Mm-hmm. And we never had to do the Star Spangled Banner. And, you know, but I was in this like wonderful bubble of being in a Black community with educated Black teachers that really cared about it. And I didn't know why they made that decision. Now I do. I'm so happy that they made that decision because it was uplifting and there was nothing in it that compromised my humanity.
Well, what's happened, of course, is the backlash has been mostly white. There are some Black people who say they're in disagreement, but the backlash is like burning jerseys online and posting the video. So people...
I'm glad they burning that money. Go ahead, burn that money.
You know, some people claiming they're going to turn in their ticket. Okay, we'll turn it in. It's the 49ers. I mean, come on. You know, there are people who have... And there are a lot. I'm sorry.
There ain't nobody turning in that ticket. They selling that joint on eBay.
Of course. We're not stupid. And then there were a lot of people... What I thought was beautiful in this backlash, as always, a bunch of non-military serving folks speaking on behalf of veterans and military service women and men. And they weren't having it this time. They have come out with their own hashtag veterans for Kaepernick. If you just Google it, you will see how many people of all races and gender have gone to support him and say, you know, either I don't agree with what he's saying, but I will fight to the death for his right to say it. Or people saying, I fight for rights. I don't fight for the right of police brutality. It's been quite nice that veterans have been especially loud on this one, because as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote in an opinion piece for The Washington Post, it's just as patriotic to be Colin Kaepernick and stay seated during the playing of the national anthem as it is to be Second Lieutenant Sam Kendricks, who was sprinting for his pole vault attempt at the Rio Olympics and heard the national anthem playing somewhere, stopped mid-attempt to stand at attention. Both are symbols of patriotism, and it shouldn't be criticized. But what will it change?
It might change Cam Newton. I hope that it would.
If you don't say I'm Cam, look, I'm going to tell you one last time. You don't understand the It's flavor. That's all it is.
Oh, God, please.
You're not ready.
I'm clearly not ready.
Anyway.
Clearly not ready.
I'm going to leave. Look, Cam, leave him alone. But no, for real. So what it has achieved already is more people talking about the Star Spangled Banner. I will say, The Root wrote an article on the 4th of July this year, which, as you know, is Independence Day for some. They wrote an article that explained the history of the Star Spangled Banner. So this isn't actually new. It's just new that so many people are talking about it. Sean King wrote a whole thing. Oh, poor Sean King. He'd be so well-versed sometimes. And in this one, he was like, I ain't even know, guys. Did you guys know? Oh, my God, I'll never stand for the Star Spangled Banner again. I was like, you know, the knowledge is there. The knowledge is there.
It's a process for all of us.
I didn't even know it about the third verse. Okay.
Not everybody was born woke like you, man.
I didn't say I was born woke. But in school, we literally read all the verses. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you just didn't have like a real good education. I don't know. Well, I don't know.
He did grow up in Kentucky. No hate, Kentucky. No hate. But
I hate.
Because you are New York and you New Yorkers. Y'all don't even like yourself. So how you going to like something else? So now that it's brought attention to the meaning, the subtext, whatever, will it do much more than split teams and dig deeper trenches that already exist? Will it awaken anyone who wasn't awakened?
I think it's going to awaken somebody. And I think that he is starting a movement where other athletes hopefully will join. I can't believe he's the first to do this, at least the first to get noticed doing this, the first big, big name athlete to get noticed doing this in our generation.
Well, I guess it depends on like what you care about, right? Because so many athletes of the WNBA and the NBA and the NFL had their I Can't Breathe t-shirts on. That's and that caused a lot of uproar.
Mm-hmm.
But the anthem just seems to represent something to so many people. But, you know, just like people were up in arms about the Confederate flag that then did come down at the South Carolina State House. Who knows what it might achieve with this? I doubt that it's going to change the anthem. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But maybe they will officially, you know, say like the third stanza is not allowed. The Germans did it. If you listen to the full length text of their anthem, you might be surprised at what you find. But
not surprised.
Or not surprised, but after the Second World War, obviously, that was officially removed from the anthem, but they did not change the anthem, obviously.
Mm-hmm. We shall see. I hope he's starting something. I think that he was the perfect first person to do it because he's so articulate. I mean, I would have even, look, if
what
he
you
came up
saying?
There
you saying, like, you saying Marshawn couldn't do it? You saying Beast Mode couldn't do it?
No, that's what I'm saying is that I would have even appreciated if Beast Mode had done it and just said, I'm just here so I won't get fined. Like, I would have like, yeah, I know what you mean when you say that. That's like you talking in code to me personally, and I know exactly what you're saying. What you're saying is, you know, and then in my head comes like the autobiography of Huey P. Newton or something. But at the same time, I feel like this has brought not only attention to the anthem and how racist it is and how ways in which high profile people can stand up for civil rights. It's also brought attention to transracial adoption and the ways in which we view race as something that you can be bought out of. Mm. Look, Angelina Jolie's daughter, who is black, black, blackity black, mm-hmm. beautiful, gorgeous. She is still black. And her parents are Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. She's still black. And how she comes to terms with that and reckons with that is on her and her alone. Nobody else can dictate what that looks like. I think there's this definite feeling that transracial adoption, interracial marriages, you name it, biracial children, are somehow the next new hope of colorblind society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how that works. That's not how any of this works.
No, of course not. And I think you said, you know, you hope some people will join him. Well, one person said he was happy to join him because he's a free agent. And then one of his spokespersons was like, he will be standing. And he was like, no, I'm going to be sitting because I got the freedom. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Right.
some other people were criticizing, namely, plenty of people were criticizing within the NFL, and everybody was like, in their Jesse Williams voice, sit down. Did you think that we forgot about your rape allegations? Sit down. Did you think that we forgot about your domestic abuse charges? Sit down. Did you think that we forgot about, you know? So there were a lot of players who were loud, all the while they have all these violent offenses behind their name.
Horribly violent. Horribly violent.
Horribly violent. And, but you know, they're white men, most of them who I'm thinking of, who spoke out against Kaepernick. And so they, I guess they feel like, you know, people forget. And they do forget. They forget easily because it's their team. And when their team wins, that's all that matters.
This is a piece of feminism that I don't understand. White feminism, that is. Right. Like, I don't understand.
Are you about to talk about Tomi Lahren? Can we not? Are you about to talk about her?
I'm not talking about that specifically.
Okay.
Whew. Okay. Ooh, I saw, ooh, just how you get red and you black. Okay.
I get red all the time. Anyway.
No, this is the part about white feminism I don't understand. It would be in their interest to naturally align themselves as anti-racist. It would be in their best interest because the same dudes that you find, white men that you find that have the most conservative, anti-black views are the same dudes that are very likely to have anti-woman views, to have sexist views, misogynist views, to commit violence against women. So there's a direct correlation there. And somehow it gets lost in, well, I'm white too, when you're talking about white feminism. So that's the way in which you have a set of people that are completely aligned against their own best interests. But look, I'm a feminist.
Are you?
I am. What you mean? What you want? A card? Like, what happened?
I don't know.
I am a feminist.
Okay. I didn't know you used that word for yourself.
I use all the words.
Okay.
I need it to be very, 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 very clear. And I appreciate the word feminism for much of the same reasons that I appreciate the word bisexual, in the sense that it's such a maligned word and it means such a basic thing. It doesn't mean what all the stereotypes and all the things that people have put on it. And
you mean you don't want to go around castrating men?
No, that I want to do.
Okay.
But that's not because I'm a feminist. That's just because I'm a sociopath. Those are two different things, okay, though.
I mean, not conflate. Well, Alicia Garza from Black Lives Matter wrote a very long post on Instagram of why she stands with Kaepernick and she's here for him all day. I agree. You know, I can't stand his team, but I will stand or sit with Kaepernick all day now.
Why, he look like Haile Selassie, though.
Really? Mm. Really?
I've been reading all the Hotep memes. He Haile Selassie come back to life.
You need to stop. Stay off of the Hotep site. I've been told you that. It's not healthy. Stay on this side. Stay on this side. Don't go towards the light. Stay in darkness and join me in hell.
Oh, God. God, no. I was just thinking that I could, like, roll up. Okay, no. Go ahead.
Well, for now, Kaepernick has the support of his franchise, his team, his coach, who have all said that they haven't come out to support what he said. They've come out to support his right to act in the way that he's acting. And I appreciate that. And I hope that it seems like he's in it to win it. You know, he did sign like a, what was this? It was crazy. It was like $149 million deal. So, and he said, I'm in it to win it. I'm not changing this stance anytime soon. He's lost a couple of endorsements. It doesn't seem like it's put a dent in that $149 million. So I think he's all right.
He seems like the kind of dude that actually got an investment banker. So yeah. I'm not really worried. Yeah, I think with $1 million, he good for life.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like the home he came from taught him how to, I'm pretty sure it was basically like he went to his accountant beforehand. He was like, give me the numbers. Okay, dope. I'm doing this. It's happening. So wishing him all the best. I am definitely going to keep an eye on the story. And I hope that if nothing else, it continues a conversation that has been started long before. In our third segment, what are we excited about? What are we looking forward to? What's going on?
What's going on? What is going on? I'm sorry. I'm still so inspired by Rihanna's performance at the VMAs, how she has grown vocally. I've been doing scales.
You got jokes. She was not. Rihanna was mostly on playback on that dance hall performance. I see you.
So what am I excited about for the coming week? This is always something I have to think about because I'm clinically depressed.
You're not clinically depressed. There are people in the world who are clinically depressed.
Possibly.
No.
No. Mm. But I think
no.
Maybe. Well,
you are within the normal realm of
normal.
Very average. Try again. Go on.
Okay, I got into some cheese and Netflix last night. Artisanal cheese. They call it a caramel gouda. That was delicious. Okay, sorry. Lactose intolerant. Insensitive again. I'm sorry. I see your face.
What are you on Netflix for?
I finally saw The Get Down.
Oh, look at you. That's what I wanted
to
hear. I love when I win.
Well, I did have to skip through most of it, but I got the highlight reel and it looks amazing.
You're stupid. That's all right. You just don't want to admit defeat. It's all good, though. I know. So I have to ask, did you see that Marvel released a very... No, it's not out yet, but they released a very cute trailer teaser type thing for Marvel's Luke Cage.
Yes.
With Method Man?
No, I was peeping that at the teaser. I was peeping that at Jessica Jones. I was peeping that when it was like, oh, he's in Jessica Jones and he's going to have his own thing.
I'm talking about what they just released where they're showing the music behind it.
You know, I got the alert on my phone and have it planted in my wrist right here. So, it's going to be dope.
Method Man is all over it. Who was it? Ali Shabir Muhammad is all over it. It's just going to be like, I'm just going to be watching it for the music, basically.
It's a music video.
It's
an extended music video. But so is The Get Down, right? So I just love how this is, and a music video in a way that is not a musical. That's what I thought was amazing about The Get Down, and which I hope they do with Luke Cage. It's not like, I don't know if you remember this, I'm dating myself, but back in the day, there used to be a sitcom called Cop Rock. It was a musical cop show. And it was like literally like High School Musical, but it was about cops. It was like, he had lacerations all around the neck. And I was just like, whoa. But the thing is that like, they would just like straight up stop the dialogue. Next thing you know, they like dancing and singing. And that made no sense.
So what I gather from that one teaser is Luke is going to be walking around with headphones.
Right.
And that's where we're going to be hearing these dope beats. And of course, like in the scenes where he's beating people's ass.
Yeah. And then also, you know, when you're bulletproof, you don't need to actually be able to hear people coming up on you. they're rolling up on you, then it's going to be a short for them. That's going to be really rough for them.
Absolutely.
So I'm extremely excited about Luke Cage. Thank you for pulling me out of the Gouda cheese hole I was in. Caramel Gouda. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
What are you excited about?
I already said what I was excited about. I'm excited about Luke Cage. I'm the one who brought up Luke. You talked about The Get Down.
No.
And I was like, have you seen the trailer teaser for Luke Cage? I brought that up. Okay. That was my excitement.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's me.
Okay.
All right.
That's you. Okay.
I'm also excited about this Sunday. There's Africa Utopia happening. Well, actually, there's like so much happening this weekend in London. It's crazy. There's this thing happening tonight at Rich Mix where they're showing like 70 minutes of different shorts, you know, queer shorts. One of my friends, Nilu Buman, her queer short will be shown there. Then they're having like an after party. It's going to be like a whole bunch of queer folks, a lot of queer folks of color in the mix. Probably not going. But very exciting. The whole weekend, there's an exhibition called Unmasked happening on mental health in the Black community. And the whole weekend, there's also something called Africa Utopia happening. One of my friends, he has a label called Asho Global, who will be on display with his fashion. And I'm definitely going to be at the fashion joint on Sunday in some of my best Africa wear, eating African food and participating in the Jollof War that continues between Nigeria and Ghana, even in London. I am on the Ghana side. So,
wow.
Yes. 100%. Though I did have some Nigerian jollof on Monday, and I was like, it's all right. Well, that's all for this week. If you would like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we've discussed today, so feel free to get at us. And you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/queertruth. If you'd like to support us with a small donation, we'd love it. Until next time, peace out.